All right. Well, good morning and welcome again to church. Welcome to New Life Church, where we are all about making Jesus the center of our life, our church, and our community. I want to say hi again to those of you online. If you're just joining us, welcome into today's service. As we are beginning this April, the whole month of April, today launches our Easter series. It's called The Beautiful Empty. It's the theme that we've chosen for this series. Again, Good Friday, we have a candlelight communion service at 6:30, so please make sure you mark that down and have that time slotted for that. But to kick things off today for this series, I've asked our assistant pastor, Pastor Lindsay, to bring the message, and as before she comes, we have a video to set this series up. So let's take a look at this video today.
Deep in the heart, there's a place we call empty. It's hidden underneath the distractions we pile on it and the love for things that will never love us back. But beneath all those things is the empty. As hard as we try, we can never fill that space. Then, one day, Jesus walked right up to our empty, knocked on the door of our despair, dared to stare into the dark hole that we didn't have the courage to look at ourselves. He didn't flinch. He stepped into it, then filled it with his resurrection life. Jesus showed us that the empty, filled by his love and his life, becomes beautiful. So now he calls us to empty ourselves over and over, to be filled with the love that overflows, to fill our brothers and sisters, to fill dark places with bright hope, to fill death with life, to fill grief with joy, to fill fear with peace, to replace an empty tomb with the hope of life, in the name of Jesus. It's the beautiful empty.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, there it is. I have to take a quick second and say hello to my niece. Good morning, Letty. I told my brother to put Aunt Sis on the TV today instead of Bluey. She may not last very long. Those are like 6-minute episodes. So, but listen, good morning. I hope all of you all have had a particularly peaceful week. I say that tongue in cheek. I don't know about anybody else, but I've become very acquainted with my neighbor Dawn's basement. We spend a lot of time there. It looked so funny. I'm sure on people's Ring cameras, every time the sirens would go off, me and Jeremy and Leo would take our little suitcase and we would just walk down the street, and our neighbors next to us would just say, "Oh, y'all are heading on over." And I looked like, you know, those little backpacks that you would take to grandma's house. That's what we looked like. We just kept rolling down the street to Dawn's house, and we'd hang out, and then we'd roll back and then back and forth for the entire week. I struggled to know what day it is, because who knows, really, what day it is. Our poor weathermen don't know what day it is. And I hope they're taking a good nap today. But it has been a wild week, right? It has been a crazy week. And we are sending our thoughts and prayers to so many people who have suffered so much over these past few days. It has been a huge burden to bear. And those who are working so hard on cleanup and all of that stuff. And I tell you what, though, as we were preparing for this message this week and talking about the beautiful empty and talking about and thinking in my mind about our fixation on things that we have in this world that we're raised to have, I don't know about any of you all, but I have too much stuff. Anybody else? You've got too much? Yeah, too much stuff. At one point, I thought if I just left the door open that I could blame the mess in this house on straight line winds. And that might help me a little bit, right? Because then I could invite people over and be like, "Hey, the wind, I need your help in my house." And my friend Mariah would be like, "Lindsay, this is what your house always looks like." I'd be like, "Mm-mm, it was the wind that did it this time," right? But when we are in that moment, right? Now, I know some of you guys were standing out on your front porch. Great. Make sure your life insurance is paid up and do your thing. But I'm headed to the basement. I'm not trying to prove myself out there on the porch. But listen, when you get that radio, that call coming through, right? When they start blaring those sirens and you have like 2 minutes to get somewhere, right? You have this minute of what do I take with me, right? What's important? And now because I had a good grandmother and mother, I know that a change of clothes and underwear is important. I know that medicines are important. Social security cards, things like that are important to grab, right? Your children, your husband, these are things that you know, specifically you got to wake them up generally if you're like most women because they're dead asleep and unbothered, right? But we wake them up and you've got that short amount of space of time to grab what's important. And all of the sudden, the things from the dollar spot that you had to have or the clothes that you spent money on, none of that is super important, right? Because ultimately, our life and our family is what matters and the people closest to us, right? They put those street signs on the TV. It's headed towards this road. We instantly think of who is living there, right? Yesterday it said it was coming out here by the church, and I knew that Mr. Van had been out here, and I think this is probably the third time that you've been out here when it says, and it's heading towards Smith Lane, and we know that Van has been out here working on something. And so instantly you think, okay, I hope Van outran it. I hope he made it home. I hope so-and-so who lives on this street, right? But guess what did not cross any of our minds? Things. People, life. That's what mattered. In our world, empty does not equal beautiful. Full is what equals beautiful. Things, decor, on and on. We think things need to be filled. The idea of a beautiful empty seems like a paradox to what we are trained to believe. And so this idea of looking at emptiness as something that is beautiful, it is a different perspective to look at because truthfully in our faith, the ultimate act of surrendering our life to God and allowing Him to fill us, of choosing to be empty, is the most beautiful thing. And so today, as we start this series, we're going to begin to explore what it means to be beautifully empty. And today we're going to look at escaping emptiness, embracing emptiness, and following Jesus' example of emptiness. You know, we spend a lot of our time trying to escape emptiness. If any of you have ever fed a teenager, you know that escaping empty stomachs is a pretty hard thing to do. They are always hungry. Always, right? And from the time we are little, we spend ourselves trying to escape this idea of emptiness, right? Of our bellies, of our minds, of even our thoughts. We fill ourselves constantly. The goal of our world is fullness. Money, possessions, power, experiences, relationships, all things that are designed to make our lives look beautiful, perfect, full. And having things is not inherently wrong. The problem is when the things try to fill the emptiness that things can't satisfy. Then there's never an end to needing things. Right? There's never this end. My friend adopted a little boy, and she was talking about early on how she would find in his room where he would hide food. Right? He would give it a snack out of the cabinet, and he would hide it in his room. Right? Because he was so used to being empty and hungry that he felt like he needed to hide and protect his food. Because fullness was a luxury to him. And how it has taken years and still even sometimes will eat more than he should out of this innate fear of being hungry. But see, in our world, we have developed this fear of being empty, of not having enough, of not looking like things are going well, of not having a full life. And so we begin to hoard possessions and hoard relationships and hoard money and this constant need to be filling up our life when the reality is that there is an emptiness that none of those things can fill. None of those things. Let's look today in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Now, I know what many of you may be thinking. I don't have a barn or grain. In fact, the only thing I currently have in abundance is bills and laundry. And I'm definitely not building another building to store all of those. But it is not talking about stuff here. It's not talking about stuff. It's about trying to find an abundant life outside of Jesus. An abundant life outside of Jesus. Rick Warren has this quote. He says, "You were made by God for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense." Because it doesn't make sense how you can have the most of everything. I actually heard this quote. Will Smith was talking to Lecrae, and he was talking about what an interesting place it is to reach the place where you are at the end of needing things, basically. When there's literally nothing that you can want that you can't get. And the place of life that is. It's not about stuff. The truth is you cannot find an abundant life outside of Jesus. And so the first step that we have to take in embracing this beautiful empty is to quit trying to escape emptiness. Quit trying to escape it. We have to know what Jesus said to this man was true when he said, "This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." Our things cannot fill us. And we're not just talking about things here. Anything that we are using to try to fill up the emptiness, and that does come in things like control. And so much other things that we try to fill ourselves up with. If I can control this, if I can maintain this, if I can add this to my life and add this to my life and add this to my life, that somehow I won't be empty. So how do we escape trying to escape emptiness? The thing we do is we choose to embrace it. We choose to embrace it. We cannot fill it. We cannot fill that emptiness on ourselves. We simply have to just create the space and allow God to come in and fill us with his presence, his love, and his purpose. You ever tried to rearrange a room? Or you ever come home and your child has rearranged a room? Leo, I tell stories on him. One day, I don't know where we were, but he was at home by himself. And he decided to change bedrooms. Yeah, you heard me. Change bedrooms. The furniture, his stuff, everything. By the time we got home, he had completely moved into another bedroom. But not everything that was originally in that bedroom had found a new place to be. Oh, my God. Ooh, yep. He had rearranged it. Let me tell you something. Letting go of that rearranging of a room is something interesting, right? Like you have this idea of how a room is supposed to be laid out. I'll never forget Pastor Val telling me one time in his house that they built, he had one room that he was told, "You can do whatever you want in this room." And so he set up this stack of antique suitcases up on the wall. And he liked it. And he left. And he came back. And they were at an angle. And they were all like this. And they were moved to like the middle of the floor. He was like, what is this? So he put them back. And then the next time he came in, they were, moved again, right? Because he was able to decorate it, but still it was not his room officially. It was his wife's room, and she had a vision for how she wanted to decorate the room. And the truth is, we all kind of have this vision for what should be filling our life and how our life should look. So it's interesting when we invite Jesus in a lot of times, we don't invite him into a clean, empty space. We invite him into a room and say, here's all of my stuff. Would you arrange it for me? And that wasn't really what he meant. He meant, like Leo, let me take all your stuff out of this room and bring in what I want to bring into it, because I know what will fill this space the best. So this is about letting go of control. Truly learning to embrace the emptiness is about letting go of control. Let's listen to this verse in Luke chapter 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these have I kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. See, the truth is, it wasn't that he didn't believe in Jesus. It wasn't that he wasn't trying to follow God. The truth is, he wanted his idols and his Savior. He wanted his idols and his Savior. What do we hold on to fill our emptiness? Status, control, power, relationships. We aren't holding it. It is holding us. Anything that we have given the space to fill our life holds us. We don't hold it. We have to let God come in and fill us. And I have to say here, remember that the Bible tells us that every good and perfect thing comes from God. Not every good thing in our life is going to have to be ripped away from us. The truth is that even the good things have to be arranged within our life by God for his purpose for us. We have to trust him as the one who is able to fill our emptiness and make perfect the path for our life. There is peace for us. We have to know that we can more fully know ourselves and be able to see others if we allow God to come in to this empty place and fill us with his love and presence and his purpose. But embracing empty is not easy. It's not easy. But we have an example. And so today, we have to follow Jesus' example of emptiness. In Hebrews 2:9, it says, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while now, not crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." Jesus emptied himself of all of who he was and took on all of who we were. He did not hold on to divinity. He emptied himself for the purpose of becoming a servant to those he was sent to save. when we see how he emptied himself for our sake, we can have courage to empty ourselves for his purpose. Authentic faith is being filled through Jesus. Knowing that whatever he gives you was given to you by him for his purpose. Could it be for your good? Absolutely. But it wasn't given to you just for your good. It was given to you for God's purpose. Even your children, our children are not fully ours. They are God's. And if our whole life is consumed by our children, then we are not releasing them for what God has for them. Even our children, our marriages, everything is God's first. And what he puts in your life is for his purpose. But when we try to take what God has given us and we try to control it and manipulate it and put it where we want it to look the way we want it, let me tell you something. I gave up on what my kids wear a long time ago. A long time ago. Yes, my children are going to be wearing their soccer shorts, and it may or may not be a clean hoodie, probably even on Easter. Sometimes I can convince them to wear like an ironed shirt on Easter, but that's really taking a lot of work, right? We cannot control everything. And we have to realize that sometimes our efforts to control our life look a little bit like us trying to force an Easter suit on our teenagers. And we are creating a picture that is false to the world and also to us. Because we were not meant to be full of ourselves. We were meant to be full of him. So, how do we do it? Know Jesus. How do we know him and the life that he has for us? John 4:14, Jesus says, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The question is, first and foremost, have you been filled by living water? Because the truth is that that living water is for us, but that living water also nurtures every good thing that God has given us. We cannot grow what God has given us unless we are full of the source of life. I cannot grow a plant, no matter what. And so I have to know that's not my job to do. I cannot grow these things, right? But the truth is, you cannot in your own strength grow your children, grow your marriage, grow your finances, grow your career, grow anything. We have to know that the only way it grows is because it is nurtured from the living water that is within us. And if you want things to grow in your life, the best thing you can do is empty yourself of yourself and be so full of Jesus and his presence and his love and his living water that anything that comes into your life is nurtured by what you are full of, and therefore it grows in response to what is in you. We have to be filled, but we have to be filled by him. And so here are some exercises for us to do. Some exercises. Y'all know I love exercise. No. Nope. But it takes exercise. And it takes practice. And there have to be steps that we consciously take to be able to fill our life with God and who he is. I want to look today really quickly at just four simple exercises that we can do. And I say simple, they're not. I love when people say things like, you know, just do a few burpees. Okay, well, no, there's nothing simple about that, right? You know, when you see those videos pop up and they're like, just do these squats. That's all you have to do. And I'm like, oh, that looks so easy. And then after three, I'm like, oh my gosh, why can I not lift my leg anymore, right? Because the truth is that unless you are exercising regularly, any exercise is painful. And so, when it comes to living a life that is empty of ourselves, unless we are practicing it daily, it is painful to empty ourselves of ourselves. My mother is someone who throws everything away. My brother and I used to say, if we wanted that memory, we better hide it. Simplify, clean stuff out, right? And the truth is that that's just the way she is, right? She doesn't keep things that are unnecessary. I had to tell her to quit deleting emails. She's like, well, I already looked at it. I'm like, but you might need that particular email again, right? If she doesn't need it, she gets rid of it. And there's something to me that is so magical about that because I've never been able to do that. Part of it's being a teacher. I'm like, ooh, this is a good box, right? I could use this at some point. Or cords, right? Some point I'll need this cord. It's never the cord that I need when I need a cord, but someday it will be, and so I'm going to keep this cord, right? Because unless you are in a pattern of getting rid of things is hard. And so we have to begin to exercise emptiness in our life and to work out emptying ourselves of ourselves. The first exercise that we can do is silence and solitude. Silence and solitude. It's a noisy world. It's noisy. Some days when I leave school, I get in my car, and that's all I do. I don't go anywhere. I just sit in my car because it was noisy, right? As adults, you are making decisions nonstop throughout your day. All day long, you are making decisions. All day long, your brain is working and it is busy. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. We're living life. We're doing the thing. But we have to intentionally exercise a practice of silence and solitude. In a noisy world, we have got to create space to hear him. We have got to create some emptiness in our life to hear him. Silence and solitude. And I realize that depending on where you are in your life and what's going on, that's harder to do than at different seasons. But if you got to sit in your car for 5 minutes and just be silent, then do it. We have to exercise creating space to hear him. The next one is gratitude. When we focus on what we don't have, we create a cycle of filling. I don't have this, I need to get this. I don't have that, I need to get that. I don't have this, I need to get this. And we start looking for ways to get things. And so whenever we are looking at what we don't have, we are practicing this ongoing cycle of filling, right? And so when we take a break and we begin to focus on the blessings in our life, we create space for gratitude. Gratitude. I can tell you right now the things that I don't have at my house that I need. Right? Because we go to the grocery store on Sunday. So this morning I started thinking of things to add to the list of things we need at our home. We are so ingrained into a cycle of filling everything all the time. We need to just pause. I am thankful for you, God. I can see my blessings. I am creating space for gratitude. The next one is serving others. Jesus practiced selfless service. He looked for needs and he met them. We have to create space to serve others. It's a necessary function of our life because it was a necessary part of who Jesus was. The only reason we know about a lot of his miracles is because he let a disciple tag along. But so many of the needs that he met were met in private or one-on-one on the side of a road. Very few of his miracles were attended by large crowds. Now, there were some, obviously, the wedding where he turned water into wine, feeding of the 5,000. There were moments where big things happened. But most of Jesus' intimate miracles were done one-on-one. And the Bible even tells us that there were so many miracles that he did that it could not even fill the volumes that we have. And also because he didn't invite everybody in there. Remember, when he was resurrecting dead things, he told them not to come in there with him. He wouldn't let certain people come in. A life of selfless service empties us of ourselves. When everything that we do for others, we need it to be seen by someone else. We are filling ourselves with recognition and feeding that emptiness in ourselves rather than just living like Jesus and emptying ourselves of ourselves for the sake of the selfless service modeled to us by our Savior. You do not need an organized event to serve people. If you live life every day, you have the chance to serve people. If you go anywhere, you have the chance to serve people. Look for needs that you can meet and meet them. A life of selfless service. And the last exercise is simplify. I did not want to do this one because I struggle with this one. Activities and busyness fill our lives. Busy fills our lives. And I know there are seasons of busyness. I know there are seasons of activity and busyness. But especially in that seasons of activities and busyness, we have to plan places to step back and create space to be with Jesus. Now, this is different than silence and solitude when we are making space to hear him. This is about making space to be with him, to truly get into his word without distraction, to be in his presence and seeking him actively without distraction. But you have to cultivate that time. It will not make itself for you. We have to simplify. Listen, the world sees fullness as a sign of success. Money, relationships, even churches, things are deemed successful if they are full. But we aren't from this world. We are not from this world. And we know that things are not a sign of wealth, and they are not a sign of health. A full life is a beautifully empty life. Empty of self, empty of this world, full of Christ. His love, his presence, his purpose, his gratitude, his service. When we are full of the things that fill Jesus, then that is the full life that we want. But that life is empty of self and empty of this world. Any of those things don't count towards the fullness of who we are. As we close out today, Psalms 103, verses 15 through 18. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, and those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Life is brief. Love is what remains. Your legacy of faith will last longer than anything you bought or created or built. Even your relationships and the homes that you've built, those things will not last. 5 and 6 generations down the road, there will be children who do not know your name, but will benefit from you making a choice to empty yourself of the generational things that you carried and the habits and predispositions of your family before you, because it will continue to build within the generations. There are generations to come who will not face what you have faced because you made a choice now to empty yourself of yourself and fill yourself with the presence of Jesus. That is a legacy of faith. We never live perfect lives, but when we live lives in pursuit of the fullness of Jesus, we are living lives of legacy. I will not leave my children a lot of money. Hopefully, maybe they won't have to pay for anything of mine after they're gone. But I didn't choose a field that makes me money. I am not leaving them money. I'm trying real hard not to leave them too much trauma. I'm working real hard on that. I cannot be full of this world to the point that the only thing coming out of me is this world. We are not of this world. Our lives of success will never look like the world's success. And if our lives are matching the success of the world, we need to step back. I do not want to be defined by my power, by my wealth, and by my visible success. I want my life to be defined by being full of Jesus. Embrace the beautiful empty, because it's the only fullness that lasts. And when this life is over, you won't have 2 minutes to pack your bag. You won't be running down to your neighbor's basement. When you are absent from this body, you are present with the Lord. And the only thing that remains of you is the love of Jesus and the legacy of faith. And those are the only things that matter. So, we have to exercise the filling of our lives with Jesus. I ask today if Ethan would play this song. As we close out today, I want us just to take a moment to sing this song, Gratitude. And today, listen, we all know what we need to exercise. I was honest. That the busyness and activity of life, it gets me. It gets me. I know that that is an area that I have got to work on in my life. Whatever you know what exercise you need to do, right? Don't skip leg day. Whatever you know, you got to work on. Whatever you know, whatever part of your life you need to exercise some release in, then that's what we want to take a moment to do today. And as we worship God and as we give Him gratitude, we take a moment to ask the Lord to empty us of ourselves, empty us of this world, and fill us with the love and presence of Jesus to overflowing. Let's worship for a few moments.